Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Prince Pipes and Fittings Limited Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Renju. Warm welcome to all the participants on 4Q FY 2023 earnings call of Prince Pipes and Fittings. From the management, we have Mr. Parag Chheda, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Nihar Chheda, Vice President Strategy, Mr. Shyam Sharda, CFO, and Mr. Anand Gupta, Deputy CFO on the call. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Parag Chheda for opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to Parag.
Yeah, thank you, Manish, and good morning to all. I thank each one of you for joining us for our quarter four and FY 2023 earnings call. The presentation and the press release have been issued to the stock exchanges and uploaded on our website. I trust you have had the time to go through the same. I will initiate the call with a brief overview of the industry and then discuss the company-level performance. The year saw an unprecedented volatility in input costs in PVC prices, which led to significant inventory losses adversely affecting our profitability in H1 FY 2023. Since April 2022, PVC prices corrected by a record by 66 rupees per kg and bottomed out at approximately 76 rupees per kg by end of November. The persistent fall in PVC prices led to sustained destocking amongst our channel partners, adversely impacting volumes. Since December 2022, the trend reversed and prices have stabilized till March 2023, leading to a much improved operating performance. We have delivered a healthy performance in quarter four FY 2023, led by stable input prices and an improving product mix with significant improvement in overall margins and profitability. The substantial improvement in profitability was on account of focus on operational excellence, inventory management, cost efficiency measures, and marketing thrust. The company sold 44,317 metric tons of volume and achieved revenue of INR 764 crores during quarter four. Despite notable lower YOY revenues, EBITDA grew by 6% YOY to rupees 148 crores, with margins significantly expanding to 19%. PAT grew by 7% year-on-year and 169% quarter-on-quarter to rupees 94 crores. We continued to expand our product portfolio with the launch of state-of-the-art products in the piping division, which is in line with our growth strategy of bringing innovative and global products to the Indian market. Our rollout of modern plumbing products is on course with encouraging response from our channel partners. I'm glad to share that to further strengthen our position in East India, we have planned greenfield expansion in the state of Bihar. The expected capacity of the piping plant would be around 35,000 metric tons initially. This shall entail an investment of approximately rupees 150 crores, which includes land and adequate infrastructure meeting the requirements of any further expansion. We plan to commence production by quarter four of FY 2025. Positive industry sentiments continue to be optimistic across sectors. The uptick in the real estate industry continues to be strong. Indian residential real estate market experienced a record-breaking sales in FY23, rising by 36% from the previous year, according to the research by Anarock Group. The new fiscal is expected to witness a strong foundation with more buyers and lower home rate loan rates, which augurs well for us. According to another report by IMARC, the India's real estate market is expected to exhibit a growth rate of 9.2% during 2023-2028. Affordable PVC rates, supported by a positive demand momentum across sectors of real estate, agriculture and infrastructure, showcase promising long-term trends for a multi-polymer pipe solution player like us. Just to give you an update on the progress of our bathware segment, vendors and designs have been finalized and our core team, including key state heads and service engineers, have already been appointed. We are also set to launch the entire bathware range towards the end of quarter 1 FY24 and are excited to deliver quality products backed by a superior customer experience. Further, we continue to focus on fiscal prudence and remain long-term healthy. We have seen a continuous improvement in debtor days from 60 days in March 2022 to 56 days in March 2023. Inventory days have remarkably improved from 85 days in March 2022 to 57 days in March 2023. Overall working capital days have improved from 68 days in March 2022 to 57 days in March 2023. I would like to highlight that we are migrating to a global ERP system from a legacy system. The implementation is witnessing certain transitioning challenges, and this will have a material impact on our performance in quarter 1 FY24. Next, sustainability and green initiative continue to be a core focus area as our Chennai plant achieved gold-rated green factory building certification by the Indian Green Building Council. As you know earlier, our Jaipur plant have achieved platinum-rated green building certification by IGBC. Our sustainability practices have reduced our carbon footprint, increased recycling, and accelerated the use of solar and renewable energy. On an overall basis, with industry potential being promising, Prince Pipes will continue to take obvious steps towards innovation in building a robust portfolio on and ground execution of our growth strategies and capitalize on opportunities where the Prince brand can bring its expertise, knowledge and service quality. Thank you for your time share. I will now hand it over to my finance team to take you through the key financial highlights.
Thanks for Farag bhai and good morning friends. I'll be taking quarter 4 FY23 financials. For quarter 4 FY23, revenue stands at 760 crores. Sales volume reported at 44,000 metric ton. EBITDA margin for quarter 4 FY23 are healthy at 19.4%, an improvement of 380 basis points over last year. For quarter 4 FY23, EBITDA came in at rupees 148 crores compared to rupees 140 crores in quarter FY22, growing by 6%. Profit after tax reported at rupees 94 crores compared to rupees 88 crores in Q4 FY22, an improvement of 7% YOY. For the full year FY23, revenue is at 2711 crores compared to 2657 crores in FY22. Sales volume has increased to 157,717 metric ton in FY23 as compared to 139,034 metric ton in FY22, reflecting an increase of 13%. Profit after tax stands at rupees 121 crores as compared to rupees 249 crores in the previous fiscal. We have witnessed an improvement in net 57 days as of March 23 as in March 22. As we had guided in our earlier calls, we have normalized our inventory. Inventory days for the year improved to 57 days from 85 days last year and 61 days in December 2022. We maintained our net cash position at rupees 158 crores as of March 2023. We continue to remain long-term debt-free during the quarter. And with this, we would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Pranav from Aquarius. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, team. Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on good operating profitability numbers. I wanted to understand on your point that you highlighted that due to migration to global ERP, you are facing some challenges in 1Q24. So if you can throw some more light on this, how 1Q would be impacted, and after that, let's say 2Q and 3Q might see better growth coming in because of the demand which you could not serve in 1Q, and because of that, overall your FY24 numbers might not be that impacted. That was my first question, and my second question was there any inventory gain during this quarter?
Yes, thank you, Pranav. Inventory gain for the quarter was 25 crores. Coming to your first question, we are having a migration from a legacy ERP system to a global ERP system, and we had planned this in the month of April because that tends to be a lean month, because in March you typically have restocking in the channel. However, due to some technical sort of glitches, this has actually spilled over into May. So I will not be in a position to quantify it because we are still trying to make up for it in the second half of the quarter. As we stand, you know, most operations have normalized, and I would say we are 70-80% close to normal today. And of course, I think the silver lining in all of this is demand continues to be extremely strong across segments, across agriculture and building material. And across geographies, north, south, west, east, India. So we are confident of growth going forward. And yeah, that's where we are today.
Okay, sir. And sir, your move towards the eastern market. So earlier, I believe that you were doing it through kind of outsourcing arrangement. So going forward now, East being a focus area, you'll be putting up your own capacities and lowering the outsourcing mix is what your strategy is?
Yeah, so we will, you know, we feel that it's the right time to invest, and we have, you know, always said that outsourcing is only a stepping stone, especially only for an entry product, which is the SWR pipes for East market. But now we feel that it's time to have rain selling and have an overall basket of goods, PVC, CPVC, you know, across segments. So to answer your question, outsourcing will transition out of it. So it will not be an overnight move from outsource to in-house, because we have to scale up in-house capacities, which takes some time. So maybe in a couple of quarters after in-house manufacturing, we would then be completely dependent on our in-house capacities.
Okay. And sir, just a pertain added question on this. You are going up with CPVC and fittings and even overhead water tanks in eastern market. Have you finalized what products you'll be launching?
Yeah, so tentatively we would be starting off with pipes, both PVC and CPVC, as well as water tanks.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you please restrict yourself to two questions. And the next participant is Chirag Rudaya from ValueQuest. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, my first question was on channel inventory in the system. Given the weak outlook of PVC or volatility in PVC prices, and on top of it, SAP integration, ERP transition, etc. How is the channel inventory at this moment?
So I would say channel inventory is low on account of two reasons. I think one, end product demand continues to be strong. And second, of course, we had challenges in the month of April and first half of May in terms of being able to service that demand. So I think overall at industry level, channel level should be low to moderate. And it would be slightly lower in our case because of the challenges in the first half of the quarter. So I think this time channel inventory is not directly correlated to pricing because demand is robust.
Okay. And do we expect any inventory losses in Q1 due to weak PVC prices currently?
It's early to say, but sitting today does not look like there would be any inventory loss.
Okay. And just lastly, what would be the timeline for each plant? Will we be starting in early FY25 or H2? And second, Telangana plant utilization, if you can just call out.
So we are sitting today targeting East plant to be operational by quarter four of FY25. That is our internal target that we are working with today. Of course, the land and all of that is still to be acquired. So this is what we are targeting, and we are confident of this timeline. And Telangana capacity utilization would be around 40% today.
Thank you, Anand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Keshav Lahoti from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
So can you give some more idea about how is your storage tank revenue in FY23 and in FY24, what are your plans for storage tank and bathware division, and what sort of cash burn we should expect in bathware in FY24?
So storage tanks, we have done around 30 crores of net sales in FY23. We have always believed that it's going to be an organic path. And we are very confident of the kind of distribution network that we've, the cross-selling of water tank that we've been able to do in our current distribution network. And for FY24, we would like to double our sales of water tanks. And I think now we are at that stage where we can take this aggressive growth now that the seeds have been sown of the initial product acceptance of water tanks. I think this year we would like to double revenue from water tanks. Coming to bathware, we will be launching next month in June. We are on track for that. We also have a dealer conference scheduled in the middle of the month, next month, where we will be launching our products to our pan-India distributors and then slowly roll out to new distributors in the market in north and west. So that is on track for next month. The cash loss from bathware would be in the range of 15 crores per annum.
Okay. And how is your margin in storage tank division?
I think margin in storage tank division is similar to the pipe and fitting business, so around 12 to 14% operating margin.
Okay, that is great to hear. When you talk about better margin due to better product mix, I understand it is due to the launch of new product and due to the higher growth in CPVC. Is my understanding correct? And what was your CPVC portfolio growth in FY23?
So value-added products include CPVC, PPR, the entire fitting range across polymers, be it PVC, CPVC, and PPR. And some of the new products that we have launched, like Lona, is polypropylene pipes as well as polypropylene surface drainage channels. So it will take some while before these start showing up on the revenue. So majorly this has been driven by better fitting sales as well as better CPVC and PPR.
Okay. Would you like to give some idea about your CPVC growth in FY23?
We've never shared segmental numbers, but we have grown across segments, and CPVC is a key focus area for us, especially after the FlowGuard Plus tie-up. So we are on the right path of growth, and we have done well in terms of cross-sell CPVC in our deep distribution network.
Okay.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dhananjay Bagrodia from Ask. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just wanted to ask regarding Jalsenal, how much of our sales percentage is going towards that, and how is that shaping up for us?
So Jalsenal, I think still we continue to see on-ground demand from Jalsenal. It's not a very significant part of revenue today. But the important point is that it's consistent. Every quarter we are seeing some on ground execution as far as JGM projects are concerned, which is a positive for us, and I think this will continue to contribute. I think we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg as far as demand from JGM is concerned. So we don't directly sell to the government. We sell through our channel partners, because we don't want to take the credit risk on our books. So the distributors sell to local municipal or government contractors for JGM. So my understanding from my sales team and my distributors is that there continues to be, this is not just policy on paper, but we are seeing on-ground demand from this program of the government. I'm not in a position to quantify, because we don't directly sell to the government. It's through the channel.
Okay, but just, I guess the follow-up is, let's see now, they're saying that this will be done now in for the pipe part by FY25. So then would we see then a significant drop, or that, since would we see a significant drop in our revenues post that?
No, we will not see a significant drop in that. Firstly, I believe this program will continue into multiple years post that as well, because there are different markets that are adopting this at different stages. But I've always maintained that JGM is never going to be a primary growth driver for Prince. It's a bonus. It's a added bonus. So we are not dependent on JGM for growth. It will primarily come from growth in distribution network, growth in real estate, growth in agri market because of affordability. So Jal Jeevan Mission is only a bonus driver, not a primary driver.
And any roughly guidance for next year in terms of volumes?
So I think X of quarter one, I think we should have 12-15% volume growth. I am optimistic about demand across segments. So quarter one, of course, will be an anomaly because of the ERP migration. However, even in quarter one, end product demand continues to be robust. And that will start reflecting in our primary numbers from the second quarter.
Okay. And how is agri sales picking up now? Are we seeing any rural? How is that coming along?
Yeah, agri sales is strong, primarily driven by affordability. So as we had envisioned in the previous couple of quarters, that this agri season should be strong. I think we are seeing that play out in the marketplace.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sandesh Parmecha from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just two questions on my end, sir. Sir, despite reporting relatively weaker pipe volume growth compared to our major peers, our data days has moved up from 43 days in this last quarter to 49 days in Q4, 49 days in Q4 FY23, whereas the collection period for the most of our peers has gone down. So can you please throw some light on this, and how do we see a collection period in FY24?
So I think historically, if you see I think 4 or 5 days here or there does not make a material impact. But historically, if you see that trend is being lower significantly. So I've always believed that control on debtor days is not something that can be achieved overnight. And it's a process of multiple years. So 4 or 5 years ago, our debtor days used to be closer to, more north of 75 days, which now has come, to where it is. So this is not something that can be done overnight. However, for us internally, this is a KPI for us, for the senior management to be able to control debtor days, because that's the true testament of your brand equity. So while we acknowledge that this cannot be done overnight, this is a key for us going forward. And over the next 2 to 3 years, we want to have a stronger control on this, which will be visible in the cash flow that we are generating.
Okay. So if you can give some sense that, so what was the volume growth in agri, plumbing, infra in Q4 FY23? On year-on-year basis, and also if you could, put some sense on what kind of volume growth are we seeing in April and May this year compared to last year?
Yeah, so Sandesh, as you're aware, I think as company policy and industry norm, we don't give out segmental numbers. What we can say is our focus is on building material, because that's the value-added part of our portfolio, and growing in building material has always helped us not only improve our margins, but also improve our brand equity in the marketplace. And our focus will continue to be on building materials, while agri will be key from an operating leverage and a cost absorption point of view, and also to help us enter into rural markets and then cross-sell other products in rural markets. But growth has been, in Q4, we have seen growth across segments. And coming to the first quarter, we have seen strong agri growth. And strong demand in agri as well as plumbing and drainage.
Okay. So what will be your capex plan for FY24 and 25, sir?
And just to add to that, before I answer this question, we have also seen good growth in infrastructure and double wall corrugated pipes used for underground drainage, where we are replacing cement pipes to DWC pipes, as everyone is aware. I think that segment also is doing well, and we are bullish on this, and we would also be manufacturing this segment in the Bihar manufacturing facility. To come to the capex answer, I think I'll hand it over to Anand.
Next year, what we are planning is, as East is coming up, 75 to 80 crores will go towards the capex in East, mainly towards the land building and utilities. For the phase one, what we are planning. And for the rest of the maintenance capex will be in the range of 80 to 85 crores for the rest of the PPF.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Praveen Sahai from Prabhudas Lilladher. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Firstly, if you can give the advertising expenses for a year and the Q4.
Can you repeat your question?
So, advertising expenses for FY23 and the Q4 FY23?
Yeah. Just give us 1 minute.
So, for FY23, it was 41 crores, the advertisement expense, for the full year. And for the last quarter, it is around 12 crores, Q4.
And the total capacity of the 3 lakhs, more than 3 lakhs, is it an installed capacity or a production capacity?
It is an installed capacity, Praveen. So production capacity is around 80% of the rated capacity. So the 3 lakh plus, what we put out is the rated installed capacity.
And on this transition to the global ERP system. Is there any cost also involved to that, and how much that?
So the cost has already been factored in over the in the FY23 numbers. The exact number we don't have handy with us. We can maybe connect offline, but it's been factored in the FY23 financials.
Okay. And the last questions are on the raw material procurement. Apart from the CPVC compound, do we have a long-term supply contract with a global supplier, or we are also dependent on some trading procurement of a raw material?
So CPVC, we have a contract with Lubrizol, and for PVC, we have contracts, annual contracts with Reliance and Chemplast Sanmar.
Domestic players only?
Yes. Import is, it's an industry norm, import tends to be spot and local tends to be contractual.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my question. All the best.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mitul Shah from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a strong performance. Sir, first question, just clarification on ERP related cost. We incurred everything in FY23 or something will come in FY24 also? Hello?
So I would say majority of it has been factored into FY23. So maybe around 90% has been factored into FY23. So it will not be a material impact on the FY24 numbers.
Sir, would you like to quantify any number in terms of the cost efficiency benefit from this new system in FY24 or maybe in 25?
The benefit from the system?
Yeah.
So
there would be certainly some cost efficiency.
Yeah, the efficiency will be in terms of integrating the whole value chain in the organization, starting from the procurement to supply chain. The integration will give us the visibility of production planning, of demand planning, and inventory management. These are the areas we are focusing on this. And for the long term, these capabilities need to be built in the organization's efficiency.
Sir, second question on EBITDA margin. Adjusted for this inventory gain of 25 crore, our EBITDA margin stands at 16.1%. So what do you think is a sustainable EBITDA margin going forward? Would that be 16% plus is sustainable, or long term could be somewhere around close to 15%?
So I think we've always been conservative with EBITDA margin guidance. So we stick to, 13%, 14%, 15% sort of guidances, while fully knowing that there are enough and more levers for improving this. And we are, constantly putting in efforts towards improving pricing power, improving product mix, decentralizing the manufacturing footprint, as well as operating leverage benefits. So I think these three or four levers have helped us sustainably improve operating margin. And, while we guide conservatively, we still have aspirations to grow this. But from a long-term guidance, I think 13 to 15% is what I would stick to.
Sir, lastly, on the how is the raw material inventory right now at our plants? Because as prices are coming down, there might be some inventory loss if prices will go further down. So how is the raw material inventory level?
So I think our overall inventory is around 60 days. So typically it is, inventory would be around 35 to 40 days raw material, and around another maybe 25 to 30 days of finished good. But I don't see a material inventory loss sitting today. So of course it's early days. We have to see how it plays out, but long term, I think any inventory gain or loss would even out over 4 quarters. So I don't think we are going to see any kind of major volatility that we saw in the past 2 years, both upward and downward. So even if there is any inventory gain or loss in a certain quarter, I think across the span of 4 quarters, it should even out, which was actually the case in our industry before pandemic. there would be inventory gain or loss in certain quarters, but in the 12 months it would even out. So I think we are back to that kind of a stable pricing regime. And I think India is in a sweet spot because India demand is strong while global demand is weak, which means that in PVC we don't see a very strong upside, but neither do we see a very strong downside because of local demand being strong. So that's our view.
Thank you. Mr. Shah, we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Next is Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and congrats on good set of performance, healthy recovery. Coming to the inventory side itself, you mentioned that sustainably 13 to 15% EBITDA margins. Sir, could you share for full year what was the inventory loss we booked as company level in FY23, and what was the similar number gain in FY22, please?
So in FY23, for the 9 months, Q1 to Q3, inventory loss was in the range of 150 crores, and for quarter four, inventory gain was around 25 crores. So
around 120-125
loss, inventory loss for FY23.
Sorry, because first 6 months, if I recollect, you had mentioned around 85 crore of loss and 25 crore in Q3. And we have set off again in Q4, 25 crore. So 80-85 crore.
Inventory loss for the 12 months is around 125. So we were in the range of 150 for the first 9 months and around 25 crores of gain in the fourth quarter.
Okay. And sir, for last year, what was the similar number gain?
This is for FY23.
No, FY22, the corresponding inventory gain, how much was that booked into the numbers?
I actually would not have that handy. I will request you to maybe go through the con call transcript. Else we can connect offline, but I don't have the FY22 exact number.
Sure. And sir, the CPVC prices, which we understand is cooling off recently because of the cool off in PVC prices, but we understand that the fall is gradual compared to PVC. So in your case, with Lubrizol, do you also need to have any inventory, losses required, or it is like on a cost basis, you need not do any inventory cost adjustments over there?
No, there is no sort of, firstly, for CPVC, we don't carry much inventory. It's just-in-time inventory because we get the material from Lubrizol's facility in Dahej. So there is no... We work on just-in-time inventory. So even if there is any inventory loss, it's not very significant. And the, the pass-through for CPVC is not as, immediate in PVC, both in terms of upward and downward. So I don't really see it as an inventory gain or a loss. But CPVC prices have cooled off across the industry. We don't see major cool-off going forward because of the duty structure. But there has been a reduction in CPVC prices across the industry.
Okay. And this PVC you mentioned, you're buying domestically long-term contracts with Chemplast and Reliance. So broadly, how much would be your import mix in the your resins purchase, raw material purchase?
So it tends to be slightly dynamic based on the procurement strategy, but roughly around 40% of PVC, 40 to 45% is local of for PVC pipe, and balance is imported.
And so with this big facilities coming up in the CPVC side, DCW doubling its capacity, even Nizmanid more than doubling its capacity, how would that change the CPVC market for you?
Our plant in Nice. I'm sorry, I'm not able to hear you.
what I'm saying that the CPVC market with two big resin suppliers adding significant domestic capacities in India, how will that shape up the CPVC market? And even Lubrizol had some plans to set up another factory in India.
Yeah, I think this is very good news for the Indian CPVC industry with local manufacturing coming in. CPVC is bound to become more and more affordable, and which will improve the penetration of CPVC. So with these two new local players coming in, I think one is, before coming to pricing, I think one good part is availability will improve. So overall industry will grow. And now with Lubriz also putting up their local manufacturing in Dahej with Grasim, I think that's going to help us not only in terms of affordability, but also sufficient growth, supply security for growth. So I think this overall bodes well. I think we are, the Indian CPVC pipe industry was yearning for such kind of local raw material availability, which I think should do well. We are seeing the kind of importance affordability of a polymer has now that PVC prices have cooled off. We are seeing the kind of growth that the polymer can actually have. So I think something similar coming in CPVC will only help industry grow and will only help the top three or four players like ourselves to lead that growth.
Thank you. Mr. Ravi, we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. Next question comes from the line of Abhishek Ghosh from DSP Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Just a few questions. If you look at the margin for the fourth quarter of FY23, even if one was to adjust for the the inventory gains, the margin trajectory seems to be still much higher than what your long-term guidance is. So how should one look at it? Is it led by product mix or is it a fourth quarter phenomena? How should one look at it? If you can articulate over the next couple of years, how should one look at the annual margin profile?
Sure. So Vishik, firstly, of course, product mix and pricing power have been key to the profitability for us, not only over the past year, but if you see the past 4 or 5 years, the way our margin has structurally improved from maybe a 9% to 10% to now, where we are in this 13% to 15% and some quarters above 15%. So structurally, this has been driven by, the four levers that we look at internally. One is product mix, second is pricing power, third is decentralizing manufacturing footprint through Jaipur, Telangana, and now the Bihar facility. And the fourth is operating leverage. So I think these four will continue to be the drivers for profitability going forward. As you are aware, we've always been conservative with guidances. So I would like to stick to being conservative on margin guidances. But we are still hungry and aspirational for better margin profile over the long term. It cannot be achieved overnight. But we are fully clear in terms of the levers that are available to us, which have worked for us in the past and which we are working for in the present and the future.
Okay, thank you. Just in terms of agriculture and infra demand and also so housing, so agri, would it be back to pre-crisis demand as far as this season is concerned for the industry?
So it's tough for me to exactly sort of quantify, but yeah, I think we are seeing a very strong demand in agriculture, and that was bound to happen because affordability is back and the base for agri has been low over the past 2 years. So maybe at the end of the quarter, I would be able to quantify whether we are back at pre-pandemic levels, but all sentiments and all signals point towards very strong agri demand.
And overall for the industry, the infra demand that you have spoken about, is it more driven by HDP pipes or PVC pipes are also going into that?
It's a combination of both, HDP, majorly HDP as well as PVC.
And would it be fair to assume that infra today as an overall piece for the industry would be, more like 10 to 15%, which would be, single digit 3 years back? I'm just trying to understand that what is the proportion of infrastructure demand that is helping the overall industry to grow?
Yeah, I think, of course, infrastructure as a... So there's no sort of official data on this, but in terms of our guesstimate as an industry player and interacting with other stakeholders, demand from infra has only gone up because of the government's focus towards not only providing pipe water access, but also the Swachh Bharat mission and which has helped the TWC demand. So we see this only growing from here. So I think around 10-12% of total industry is a fair estimate, which was much lower 3 years from today, and I think this will be much higher 3 years going forward.
And just one last question. You know, you've launched few new products in the last 2 to 3 years. Do you track in terms of what has been the volume or the revenue contribution from these newer products? How have they been tracking vis-a-vis your expectation? Any update on that would be helpful.
Sure. So I think the kind of products that we've launched are into... So one, of course, we do track the performance. But, you know, some products like maybe water tanks and HBP, which are slightly more commoditized, of course, it's a number game and we have to deliver numbers. And like I said, in water tanks, we will be targeting a doubling of revenue in FY24. And similarly, you know, in HDP we are looking at growth, but base is very small. But there are some products like low noise PP pipes and surface drainage channels, which is more of a concept selling. And more than numbers or volumes, we have to, you know, as you know, we are trying to position ourselves as an innovation leader, we have to first do the concept selling with builders, with engineers and architects across the country, of having the acceptance of these kind of products, because here we are not competing with other pipe players, but we are competing with conventionally used products like cement pipes or cast iron pipes or RCC drainage channels. So a lot of concept selling has to be done. I think we did a similar exercise maybe in 2017-18 when we launched DWC and we were replacing cement pipes with corrugated pipes, and the market, you know, in India we have always been late with our adoption cycle, and it's more of a concept selling where we have to explain the product life cycle benefits, the installation cost benefits that the end user has. So these kind of products take some time. We have to be patient, but over 4 or 5 years, then this gives a disproportionate return. Not only in terms of numbers, but also the brand image that we are able to build in our value chain.
Thanks. Sir, just one question, one last one from my side is, you know, your 1Q FY24 will get an impacted because of the implementation and ERP implementation, and hence you'll have, that will have a bearing as far as the growth is concerned in FY24. But on a 2-year basis, you, in FY25, do you believe that you can clock off 15-20% CAGR volume growth? Is that something that you see because of the various initiatives that you have taken?
Thanks. Yes. So looking at the kind of demand environment that we are seeing today and the capacity expansion that we are planning, I think this sort of growth is definitely possible. The kind of revival that we are seeing in real estate and with affordability back in PVC, we are optimistic about growth going forward.
Okay. Thank you so much and wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Udit Gajiwala from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking up my question, sir. Most of them have been answered. So this last one, we are seeing a lot of players going for a capex into the eastern belt. So is it that the demand we are going to take from the unorganized segment over there, or what is that structurally that is changing on that front?
So east for us, you know, while we are only now putting up in-house capacity, we have put up outsource capacity in the year of 2014. In Bihar and then a couple of years ago in Jharkhand. So we have already seeded the market and we've had an early mover advantage in East India. And we have seen a very strong demand over the past 3 to 4 years in terms of volumes in East India. So now we feel it's the right time to put up in-house capacity because we want to do reselling of plumbing pipes and water tanks and underground drainage pipes. So I think now the market is ripe for us to be able to cross-sell this, the rest of our portfolio while growing the PVC pipes in East. And we are, you know, East typically has seen a delayed urbanization cycle relative to West and South, which is why now we are seeing maybe a better growth in East India, because that market has been underdeveloped relative to the rest of the country. So yeah, which this is why we feel it's the right time to enter into East.
Understood. And lastly, on bathware, would you want to give some revenue kind targets for say 24-25 for this segment?
No, we'll stick away from revenue targets. I think focus has to be on product range, branding, and more importantly, setting up a distribution network. We do have internal targets, but I don't want to play the number game. I think I want to focus on brand and distribution, and the results will be there for everyone to see.
Understood. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Srinik Surendra Bachavat from LIC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. Just one question. So in this earnings season, we saw the other pipe players delivering healthy double-digit volume growth, while ours was -2%. So can you just explain us why is there a huge gap in other players and our volume growth?
I think, see, Shanik, there is, you know, few quarters of plus or minus volume growth does not really concern us. We have to see the long term. There have been periods, multiple quarters, where we have, you know, have industry-leading growth. So I think these things tend to happen in the marketplace. So we are not taking it lightly. We have to see the balance of, you know, pricing power as well as operating leverage, and there has been some course corrections that we've done in the month of April. However, this is not something which is very concerning. I think from, you know, we have seen very strong demand from this quarter itself. Unfortunately, because of the ERP migration, it will not be visible in the primary numbers. But from the second quarter of this financial year, I think we'll be back. I'm confident that we'll be back on a, you know, strong growth track.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. One is with respect to CPVC, is it possible to get some sense about the market share, what we would have had in FY23?
So I believe we are around 10% of the market, and in terms of contribution, it is around 20-25% of our overall portfolio.
This is in volume terms or value terms?
I think, so this I am seeing in value terms, but I think should be fairly similar in volume terms as well. In terms of market share.
Right. And with respect to PVC, can you help us understand what would be the market share in PVC segment for us?
I think overall, if you see, I think all polymers put together, we would be at maybe a 6.5-7.5% market share. And CPVC specifically, we would be at around 10%. PVC standalone, maybe we can connect offline. I don't have an offhand number.
Understood. Secondly, you know, with respect to the capacity, if you could help us understand the March 23 specific number, what is the rated capacity, installed capacity, and how would that be by March 25? Why I'm asking, because you have talked about the East expansion, but I presume there would be a brownfield expansion at the existing facilities as well. So can you give us some sense with respect to the capacity in March 23 and March 25? And I presume the CAPEX, what Anand mentioned, is 150 crores each FY 24 and 25, half of that for East and half for maintenance, if I've got the understanding right.
Yeah, so that is for FY24, the CapEx guidance. Today, to answer your capacity point, today we are at 315,000. East will be 35,000. So that put together, plus the brownfield that would happen across plants, that I'll not be able to position, quantify what will be in FY25. But to give you an answer, FY25, we should be at 315 plus 35 of East, plus whatever minor brownfield we do at our existing facilities.
Understood. Another question I had with respect to the channel financing, as to what has been the quantum of channel financing as of March 2022 and March 2023, and how do you see this evolving over the next couple of years?
So Achal, it has been evolving very well for the organization. More than 100 customers onboarded already in this program, and sanction limit to our channel partners is in excess of 100 crores right now. And we are taking this as a lever of controlling our receivables. This is one of the primary things which we are focusing in the areas where we are not very strong in channel financing, and the distributors where the white space is there, we are filtering it out, and we are focusing on expanding the channel finance limits to our existing distributors. So in terms of outstanding, we are utilizing around 65 to 68% of the sanction limit. So that is how the position is right now.
How much would that be, Anand, in March 22?
It was around 40 to 45 crores in rupees in March 22, and it is around it was around 45 to 50. I do not have number handy, but it's in that range only, and it's around 65 to 68% of the sanction limit to the distributors is the current outstanding right now.
Got it. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Manish.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.